Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we love you, and we thank you, and we bless you. And on this day of resurrection, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. It's for that reason that we have victory in Christ Jesus, and we love you. And we bless you. Thank you that you have spoken and taught us in these days of Holy Week through your word. We praise you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the victory that you have given us through your resurrection. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, this is our fourth session of our series, Jesus, the Son of God. And in this series, we've been studying through different subjects. I don't even remember what the first subject was titled. But I spoke many different sessions. Oh, that was the first session. Who is this Jesus? Okay, then the second, what was the second one? Okay, Jesus, the Messiah, or the Christ. And then the third subject is Jesus enough for you? There we go. Thank you. Amen. So today we're going to see Jesus, the Lord. The Lord. And you'll be surprised something here. If you were to go asking around people, of any person who calls himself a Christian, say, do you think Jesus is the Lord? Everyone will say yes. But I give you my word before my Lord Jesus that for the majority of Christians, or all, Jesus is only their Savior, but not their Lord. In Romans 10 and verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, notice something, that if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus. So many people do this confession of well, if this confession was done, that means that not everyone is saved. Read correctly. Actually, they just put it on English. Leave it in English, please. Leave it in English. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you confess him as him, he is the Lord. And the same in Spanish. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you can believe that Jesus is the Lord, but you not receive him as your Lord. Two completely different things. One more time. You can believe, to be saved, you can believe that Jesus is the Lord, but you nor receive him as your Lord. Two completely different things. If you're biblical, you know that what I'm saying is true. One more time. You can believe that Jesus is the Lord, but now receive him as your Lord. We're going to see what the definition of Lord is here. The Greek. Amen. And we're going to say many things here. For example, there is a difference between Christian and disciple. A Christian is someone who has placed faith in what the Lord did, in his finished works. A disciple is a studier of the word. Someone who studies the word. And a disciple will never, and this is why YouTube can block my videos again. A disciple will never support the Democratic Party. Never. Everything that they support, that they promote, homosexuality, transgender, abortion. Although you may not like Donald Trump, and actually, a disciple is not following that nonsense if Trump is racist or not. Suppose he were. What do you care? What do you care? Same. I wouldn't care. It's the same for me. It's, he isn't, but suppose he were. So what? If it's going to help and benefit the country and to continue, he'll support things that the Bible supports. Irrelevant then. You know who are the ones that follow that nonsense? Children in Christ who are not disciples. Christians. But a disciple see things as with the eyes of faith. Now, continuing here so you can see something. Notice the word Lord here. Oh, I didn't bring my laser here. Okay, the word Lord from the Greek Kyrios or Kurios as some pronounce it. Lord means owner. He who gives orders. He who is supreme in authority. Oh, thank you. Lord, a lord is someone who owns a thing or something, has deciding making power and has control over that thing or person. And now this isn't to condemn anyone, this isn't to just try to expose you, but all of us should be committed with the truth. All of us. This doesn't have to do with being a pastor, an apostle, or with prophets. It has nothing to do with that. All of us should be committed with the truth. More time. I mean, with that word there. Owner? Lord. Owner? One who commands or orders. Actually, some time ago, I told my son Anthony, one of my horses was in a certain horse stable. And I said, move him to this other stable. You know what? The horse didn't tell me, no, I want to be in this one. And when we changed his stable, it seemed like as if he didn't like it. Because he started getting all rowdy. He started running, turning over. Started neighing, throwing a couple kicks, but you know what? That's it, he had to submit. The anger was just there for a few minutes, then he got over it. He hasn't told me anything about it. Doesn't have another option. Many Christians then would, if we want to kick or say, no, I don't want to do that, I don't want to agree, Lord, for a few minutes, but then they say, but that's fine. You're my Lord. You see then, not every believer, a person can be a believer in Christ Jesus actually, but not a disciple. And that's it. That's all it is, believer in Christ. But not everyone are children of God. Or apologies, I said that wrong. Everyone, all are children in Christ, but not all are disciples. And for them, Jesus is not their Lord. You see the difference then? There's a difference. In Luke 6, Luke 6, 46, I believe that's the one. I'm going to start reading in verse 43. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. A person can be born again but have an evil heart. Your heart is speaking of your mind, not just the spirit, but your mind, your way of thinking, your decisions. Again, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart, His mouth speaks. Everything that you speak, say, and believe in is inside of you. And it has much to do with if Jesus is your Lord or not. Why should I be putting things in my mind and in my heart that my Lord disapproves of? There are people who have misunderstood the message of grace that I speak. Yeah, God loves you regardless of your actions. It's true. But there are Christians who translate it to this. If God loves me regardless of my actions, it means that he's pleased with everything that I do. Or God approves everything that I do. But that's not true. God loves you regardless of your actions, but doesn't approve everything that you do and will not back up everything that you do. He will not honor you in everything. God doesn't change. Amen. God loves you regardless of your actions. But I'll tell you something. If your actions are wrong, then God continues to love you. But if you repent, he will receive you. And he's not mad with you in the sense that if you repent, he won't reject you. But if you depart from him, if you go away from him, you won't perceive the goodness nor the word, nor will you perceive his lordship over you. But if you don't know how to hear, which is why you need to learn how to hear from your heart. I'm going to make a quick spiritual exercise here to prove a point. Hamster, help me out here, please. Then, I'm going to ask multimedia to help me out here. Here's what you're going to do. Okay, follow along here. I'm going to ask multimedia, meaning you're not going to go there. Is that fine? I'm going to ask multimedia to help me with the verse here. Okay? Who am I going to ask? Multimedia. To put it on the screen then. But you don't go there. You're just going to listen. Help me on my multimedia with Jeremiah 10, verse 23. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. Is it not in man who walks to direct his own steps? You see one person over there. Look, my brother over there. Who else over there? You see? Do you notice? Can't listen. You see? Look, this is an exercise not to just point out, but to prove a point here. What did I tell you? I told multimedia, you don't go there. My question is then, if you don't know how to hear the person that's in front of you, how can you hear an instruction from God? But you're a witness. Thank you. Now, why did I do this? Think about it. In the natural, what do I care if you obey or not? Or what do I care if you go well in life or not, as long as it goes well for me? Is that right? Haven't you heard of people who say, oh, what do I care if that person dies or struggles as long as I don't struggle? Have you heard something like that? Yeah, because we live in a selfish society. Yeah, I get with my children when I'm going to go to sleep. I say, Dad, good night. Rest, yes, amen, that I rest, amen. And that's how I play with my kids, we laugh about it. But speaking seriously, think about it, what do I care if you come, read your Bible or not, come to read your Bible or sleep? Honestly, I if it were like that, I don't care. I don't know how well you are in your finances and your body and your struggles, but this has to do with obedience. In the natural, what do I care? The issue that I'm trying to point out here is how can you claim them that if we say that Jesus is our Lord, we can't listen simple instructions? How can you say that Jesus is your Lord and arrive late at your job? Alex, thank you. Okay, those are the results then. If you can't hear in simple instruction, I'll explain why. Now go to the Bible. Colossians 2. I'm making a point here. Colossians 2. Verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. Beware lest anyone cheat you or deceive you. It has to do with no one rob of what you have. That's what it means here. Through philosophy. The simple definition for philosophy is love to study. But it turns out, if the Lord were to use it here, it means it has to do with, really, philosophy has to do with your way of thinking and your lifestyle. Believe it or not, accept it or not, all of us have a philosophy, a way of thinking. The issue is then if that philosophy is a philosophy as the Lord's. The Lord Jesus has a way of thinking as well. The issue is if you and I, then, if we claim that He is our Lord, is our philosophy the same as His? That's the issue then. And actually, now that you're there in 2, read verse 1 with me. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. The Apostle Paul here speaking to the brothers there in Colossians. Or in Colossus, in Asia Minor, what is now known as Turkey. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Why did he say this? Well, Paul here never saw, Paul never ministered to the brothers in Colossians personally, but it was as to say, so you can understand, a sort of spiritual grandchildren to him. It was more so Epaphras, who was his spiritual son. It was through him he preached what he learned of Paul here in Colossians. Remember, all these people came from paganism, as you and I come. Your idolatry and paganism. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, of knowing. Again, the best translation from the Greek here were to, better said, to recognize. You accept something. This is what recognition means in that same verse in King James. The New King James, verse 2. The full assurance of understanding. Very similar to Spanish. Let's see something here. The Apostle Paul never said, I'm praying so that God can bless you and to touch your hearts and that the Lord does something with you. More so, it was that they would have a revelation of what they have in Christ. Part of having an understanding in Christ is His Lordship. And attaining to all riches of full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of mystery of God, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. See the same verse. Colossians 2. Okay, yeah, I knew I was right. I just wanted to be sure. I asked for the King James Version, for the New King James. Help me now with the King James, the original. Colossians 2:2. Full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement. Same as Philemon 1:6 in English, the acknowledgement. Acknowledgement when you recognize something, when you assure something. Some of you ministers here, between today and in our midweek services, I make some coffee for you, right? The coffee that I like to drink. If I tell you it's good, isn't it? And you say, yes, it's very good. Well, you're recognizing what is. Understand? And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying here. Verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Why was Paul writing this letter if they already had their pastor there, Epaphras? Well, Paul wanted to assure that Epaphras was speaking the complete gospel and not religion. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How did you receive him? By faith. Well then, walk in him by faith. And by faith you have to receive the lordship of Jesus and not do what, forgive my French, whatever the frick you feel like doing. You're going to give a lot of place to the devil and move away from the plan of God. 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. Notice how we fall onto verse 8. One of the things that it tells us here, walk by faith and cast roots in verse 7 in him. How do you cast roots in Christ? Using the terms that we were seeing here in the anointed, in the Messiah. When you cast roots in the Word of God, I told you. Full Christians, there are many Christians and there are many believers. There are very few disciples. A disciple is one who studies the Word of God. A disciple, everything that they see that is going on in the world, will see it according to the Word of God. And we're in dangerous times. Times where we do not value what we have. Yeah, we can perhaps complain about the economic situation in both Mexico and here in the United States, but here's why I asked an usher to bring my phone. In a country of Africa, in Nigeria, the population is about 46% of the population. It's quite a good population. I don't know the exact amount, but it's... There are countries where there are many people. That's the thing. But from if this just happened in April 2nd of 2025, a few days ago, more than 60 Christians were murdered. And 383 houses were burned down. Some of them, the families were burned alive. And the children were left without a home. From 2001 onward, according to this organization that is sharing all of this information, 2001 to now, which is 24 years, more than 100,000 Christians have been murdered. And more than 3.5 million farmers have been kicked out of their homes and their properties. An Islamic terrorist group that is there. They scare them with AK-47s, machetes, machine guns, burning their harvests. And this doesn't happen here. But what has happened? That here, more so, we kick out the lordship of Jesus and we come to church whenever we want. We read our Bible whenever we want to. We pray whenever we want to. If you think then what I'm sharing with this is to help you again. There are people who want God to speak to them in great plans and great things, but we can't even do the most minimal that is written here in the Bible. You cannot be down here and try to reach there without first coming up here, then here, then here, then this one. Yeah, I could jump from up there to down there, but I'll probably get hurt. And there are many Christians who want to do things in their own merits or in their own strength or in what they want to do. And don't take the Lord into account. Many Christians walk being offended. I always say this. Now, speak of this congregation. If I say something and you get offended because you say, no, it's not like that, then you continue doing what you have to do. One more time. I am committed with the truth. The truth is the Lord. John 17, verse 17. You can see it in your Bible. Sanctify them in your word. Your word is truth. Sanctify them in your word. Your word is truth. And the Lord Jesus, Him and His word are one. Sanctify them in your word. Your word is truth. John 1, 1. John 1, 1, 2, and 3. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, the Word here, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. Through who? The Word of the Lord Jesus, or the second person in the Deity. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. So when I tell you, I personally am committed with the truth, I am committed with my Lord. Who am I not committed with then? If I'm committed with the Word, who am I not committed with? With the people. Now, I love the people, and out of the good of the people, the truth is what will set you free, not lies and deceit. It's the truth that will set you free. We live in lots of ignorance. I believe people in leadership, even in governments, in schools, in churches, should be there to teach. Years ago, many years ago, a pastor friend of mine was here in Douglas, and I said, I'm going to go to Home Depot to go buy some things there. He said, could I go with you? He said, yes, of course. We said we were going to see each other here in the entrance of Douglas here, what we call Gaitan. He was going to wait for me there, and then we'd go together. Well, he hadn't arrived, and I called him. He didn't answer. I waited a while more. And I was giving many turns there on First Street. One of those times I saw that he came through, he got on the car, and he said this. We were on Pan American, one of the main streets here. And when I turned onto Pan American at this time, so you can see how this is many years ago, I think there's a stoplight on 7th Street and Pan American where we have Mr. Deweese's tire shop. Back then there wasn't a stoplight, right? He's a friend of mine. We were there. But when he got on the car, I should say he told me this. He said, oh, forgive me for taking so long. Forgive me, brother. But it's because I had to deal with a very racist officer. The port of entry. That's what he told me. I didn't say anything. I just got on, turned on to Pan American. I turned on that. Or back then, there wasn't that stoplight there yet. And I reached the stoplight of 5th Street now. We made a small stop there. And I asked him, I don't understand what you mean, yet that you had a racist officer? Yes, which is why it took such a long time. So I continued. When I reached International 80, I headed towards Sierra Vista, I said, brother, so I can understand. Because, you know, when they tell you something, I don't know, where you just hear something, and you just hear it, or when you truly want to understand, you want to understand what they're telling you, right? Are you the same? I'm like that. If I want to understand, well, I'm going to ask. And I asked, Did he refer to your skin color? Because he's a very dark skin. Did the officer refer to your skin color or your ethnic group? Did he speak disrespectfully of your skin type? On this point, we were already on I-80. Headed towards Sierra Vista. He turned to look at me. I was driving. He turned to look at me like, what does that have to do with anything? He didn't understand my point. Said, well, what does it have to do with anything, Brother Hughes? Because you told me, one more time, you told me that you had to do with a very racist officer. Oh, yes, yes. That's why it took longer. And I couldn't answer. He even called me, but I couldn't answer. Said, oh, but are you saying that he was very racist? So, did he refer to your skin color? No. So then, what did he tell you? He asked me where I was going. How much time I was going to spend here in the United States. Who was I going with? And what was I doing in this and the other? He said, so then, that doesn't apply. That adjective doesn't apply. The word racist is an adjective. And it doesn't apply to what you're telling me. But nowadays, the whole world is racist. Especially here in the United States. Everyone wants to come here. The whole world is racist, though. If they tell you something and then you're a different ethnic group, you're racist. That's ignorance. Who promotes that ignorance? The leaders of the world. And there we are repeating, like parrots, the same idiotic thing. Racist doesn't apply, and I could give you example after example. What I'm trying to say with this is that the majority of Christians don't even discern because they don't let the word get in their way. If Jesus is your Lord and you do what he tells you here in the word and you start with the most minimal thing of what is written and then you learn to hear his voice, the very Lord removes our stupidity. Amen. And we're not talking like the rest of the world. Like everyone else, you see everyone else, racist, everyone is. Or go to Phoenix and Mexico's with, oh, he's racist. When are we going to think for ourselves? You need to use your head more than just putting on a hat or combing your hair. It's fine that we use our head for that, but use it more than that. You know why? Because Jesus is not the Lord for many. Luke 6, verse 43. If we start speaking differently and acting differently, it's because Jesus is our Lord. Luke 6, 46.
The word of God says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing your religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Hi, I'm Kayla, daughter of Pastors Ignacio and Nuvia Hughes from Word of Faith Ministries. And I want to highly recommend my spiritual grandfather, Kenneth Copeland's book, The Joy and Power of the Tithing Covenant. I have read it myself, and I can assure you, it explains in detail how the tithe is prevalent under grace. I encourage you to obtain a copy and see how it will change your mindset and free you from any doubt that you may have concerning the subject of the tithe. Please visit kcm.org to order it.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at mpfccc.org and click on the questions section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
Hi, I'm Kayla. I have a quick question for you. Did you enjoy our teachings? How about the Kingdom and Government episodes? We'd love to know how this content has made a difference in your life. If it's been helpful, go ahead and like the video and drop a comment. We'd love to know how God's Word is impacting you.
We are grateful for your continued prayers and financial support, which are important for spreading God's Word around the world. Giving to our ministry is both simple and secure. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and find the giving section where you will find a variety of giving options. To make a donation, fill out the donation form, enter your desired contribution amount, select the specific fund you wish to give to, add your preferred payment method, and click the give button to finalize your donation. Upon completion, you will receive a confirmation of your donation. We want to reassure you that any amount you decide to give is a blessing and appreciated in our ongoing mission. Thank you for your support and for partnering with us.
Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? That's a good question. Put it on a post-it note there. On your fridge, your bathroom. Put it where you can see it the most. Put these verses, not just promises of healing. The promises of prosperity, and that's all fine. But it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Why did I refer to healing? Because many Christians, all they want is healing to continue their carnal lifestyle. Christians want prayer to be healed. They want miracles in their lives, in their bodies, in their finances, in their matrimonies to continue with a lifestyle, but they don't want it to submit to God. They want all the grace of God without submitting to the grace of God because they've misused the grace of God. The grace of God is, imagine this, for some reason your car broke down in the middle of the desert, you don't have signal on your phone, and came walking all the way during summertime. You find me. You tell me I'm very thirsty, your lips are all dried up. And you tell me I'm thirsty, Brother Hughes. And I tell you, what happened, brother? Oh, my car broke down. Why didn't you call me? I didn't have signal. I ran out of battery. I tell you, here's this water. It looks a bit weird because it has some lemon in it, but it's fine. Water. It looks so good, but I don't like water with lemon. You know what? You can't even reach your home. Perhaps you're all completely dehydrated. There be a failure in your kidneys. Your kidneys collapse. Your organs stop functioning. Your brain. Out of hyperthermia, out of lack of water. For example, a car with no coolant in the radiator. And here, there's all that water there that can help you. That's the grace of God. You can have it there, and you don't activate it. You know how that without grace activates? Through faith, through obedience. There are people who think that obedience isn't important. Hallelujah. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Help me with the New Living Translation here. 646. Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord when you don't do what I say? The International Version? Again, same thing. Why can't you do the most minimal thing that the Lord tells you? Why do you have to argue and fight with what He tells you? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. You know what the rock is? The Lord Jesus. The rock isn't Peter. Peter isn't the first priest, which is what we're going to see in our midweek services as well. There's a difference between the word rock in the Greek and the word Peter. They come from the same root, and they both mean rock. The difference is when Jesus spoke of the rock, he said, "You are Peter, and over this rock, he is the rock." The difference is, in the Greek, it has to do with a, like what we call a
boulder.
Boulder. And the name of Peter means like a little rock, like a stone. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house, but could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. In both homes, circumstances will come, but he who is on the rock, he who received Jesus as Lord. Problems can come, but they will never fall. Hallelujah. There's a big difference. A very similar story here. Matthew. Matthew 7. Verse 13. Now I'm going to tell you in parentheses very quickly. We reached the same story here of our brother that I shared with you when we reached. We were towards where Cochise College is now. When I explained that to him, he said, you're right, brother. That's true, brother. We say things and words without meaning. That's right. I think that he was humble and received. Matthew 7:13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Why did he say the narrow gate? For wide is the gate. You know why? Because if you truly want to maintain and receive the Lordship, and you want to submit to the Word, it'll cost you. I don't know if you've perhaps gone through a very narrow gate or a narrow entrance and you struggle to go through. Well, you will struggle. In what area will you struggle? Here in your mind. This is where the battle is. This is where the devil will want to deceive you. This is where the devil will put that boredom of the things of God. Which is why you have to make an effort. Grace doesn't mean lazy. Grace doesn't mean that everything corresponds to God and you're just there filling up with things on television and the internet. At least everything will go well. Because God loves me the same and I'm under the grace of God. You'll die very soon with those thoughts. Because the devil can kill you. One more time, grace has to be activated through faith. Verse 14. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. One more time. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. There are people, which is why I tell you, there are people who, which is why I'm sharing this with you. People will say, yes, the Lord, or the Lord Jesus. But in reality, he is not their Lord. Now, of course, I should make a difference here. In its context here, I'm going to read all of it so you can understand. The context is people of the world, those who think they're born again, who think they've been born again, that Jesus is their Lord. But there's an application for us who have been born again. Let's read first its context. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in my name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you. Notice what he said there. There was never intimacy. There was never a relationship because they were never born again. Now let's see an application here for us as Christians. Many Christians, the Lord Jesus, their Savior, personal Savior. But that's the only point they reached. Meaning if they die, they go to heaven. These people here in the latest verse we just saw, will not go to heaven. They're pagan. They're heathens who thought that because they said things and said things in the name of Jesus or something like that. But speaking of a person who is truly a believer in Christ and has been born again, but is not a disciple, has not received the Lord as their Lord and Savior, and as their owner, does what they want, takes their own decisions, thinks as heathens, act like heathens. You know what's going to happen? Going to happen with those types of Christians is they'll cut their life on this earth. That's the truth I'm seeing. And if you see the last verses, verse 20, by their fruits you'll know them. Now notice something here. Same thing we read just a moment ago. The other gospel, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. A moment ago we read a very similar story. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these things saying of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man, or a dumb man can also be translated, who built his house on the sand. And rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught to them as having authority and not as the scribes. Yeah, all they taught was religion and condemnation. Jesus spoke the truth. Now, if you're condemned by the truth, it's your own conscience. I'm not. Condemning you, nor is it my intention. I share the truth and I'm committed with the word, as I told you. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Not lies, the truth, if you receive it. So, not for everyone is the Lord Jesus their Lord. Not everyone. There are people, Christians, who will argue saying that praying in tongues is not for today. They will argue, they swear by it. There are people who have told me that, oh, I don't believe in praying in tongues because so-and-so on the internet or television said that. It doesn't matter how much we teach them, line after line, verse after verse, they believe someone else. You know why? They didn't believe the Lord Jesus, because it's not about you believing me. If you're not going to believe me, it's because you believe the Lord and gives testimony to your spirit. One of the things that I detest the most is when people have told me, I will never forget what I learned with you. Yes, you will forget. I give you my word. You will forget. You will have a very sensible understanding, but it won't be produced by faith. Another thing that I detest is, oh yeah, I've already heard about that. I already know. Not true, you don't know, as you should know it. A disciple never argues. A child in Christ argues. One guided by the five senses argues. You are Jesus is just his savior. Now, 1 Corinthians 8, based on what I was sharing here. Verse 2. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. If you think that you know everything, that you know it all, and that you need to listen anymore, it's because you don't know anything. Perhaps you may have a lot of information here in your head, information of your feelings. Believe me, when Jesus is your Lord, if we can't even do the most minimal thing written here in the Bible. Nowadays, I'm surprised of listening to pastors speaking as the world speaks. Nowadays, people do what they want to do, and I just ask, where is it in the Bible? When you ask, where is that in the Bible? It's, where does my Lord tell me to do that? Nowadays, the local church is not important anymore for many. Congregating isn't important. Today, they just call them online members or e-members, electronic members. And I just looking here, where is that? Nowadays, people want to substitute seeing a message at home. As I've said, did you know that the blessings of Israel were hurt more to Israel during the riches of Saul or of Solomon? When Nuvia and I started, we had nothing. Now the more that we have, the more we want to serve the Lord. Now more. You know what? It's what the Lord tells us. What the Lord says is law. What he says. There have been times where the Lord gives me orders and he doesn't ask me, would you like to? Do you agree with me? He doesn't even ask my opinion. And there are people who have misunderstood prosperity, which is why I've gone away from those messages and some of those preachers, because they've just placed faith to believe God for a car. Not saying that that's wrong, but do you think God just wants you to use your faith only to believe him for a car and then you're in debt? You think God wants you to have debts and having no work and move away from your family because they confused messages of prosperity? Now God doesn't want you as poor as a rat. How can you give in the kingdom? But that's all it's based about. And I heard people in churches of faith, many testimonies of how they were blessed because they had bought a car or they had bought a home, and it's fine. But eventually, I was expecting to hear something more, as to say, well, I've used my faith to pray more, to seek more from God, to serve better, to come to church more, to be an excellent server, because I'm thankful with God. You know what? I never, or perhaps nowadays, but have you ever heard something like that? I never heard in a single church of faith of our area, not once did I hear a testimony of saying, I'm using my faith to be a better believer. I'm reading my Bible more. I'm using my faith to sacrifice my flesh more and to spend more time with him. I'm trying to go through my memory because I'm trying to be as just as I can. Perhaps I'm trying to remember. Maybe in one church. I don't even know if it was a faith. I heard a sister say, as you know, I went to go preach to many churches, not just a faith. I also went to traditional churches. I don't remember if it was Church of Faith or not, but I heard a sister say, I'm using my faith more so I could change my work schedule so I could come to church more. And I'm praying more at home. And they had already changed some of her schedule. And I believe now that I am a better server here at church. I'm being a blessing to my Lord Jesus through my local church. But apart from that, I don't remember hearing that. And I went to many churches. You know what I heard? I just heard a faith of a car, and it turns out the car was being paid off. Not condemning anyone if you're doing payments out for a car, and don't misunderstand. What I'm saying is, if you think that because of that you're blessed, well, the world is as well. If you start using your faith to submit your flesh and serve the Lord better, and to love God more and to know Him more, then the rest, Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God and everything else will be added to you. Hallelujah. This is the principal thing that you should use your faith. Philippians. Philippians 3. And Paul spoke some things here that we've already seen. I don't have full all the time to look. He spoke of how he had left everything. He had been a Roman soldier. He had a great title and leadership in the Roman government. He had a good salary. He lived well. He had relationships, important relationships with the Roman government, which was the highest power back then during the time. But he said something here when we received the Lord. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have accounted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss or prejudice for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. My Lord. Not our Lord, he said my Lord. Because sometimes we say our Lord, but in reality, I don't know how Lord he is of your life. Not an insult. And this isn't a personal attack. She's just sharing the truth with you. I don't know. I could examine it because he said, they shall be known by their fruits. We just saw that. There are Christians that if they were to be arrested for being Christians, they would have to let them go of lack of evidence. I mean, she's saying those inspectors that are in the countries around, going from the fruit that's coming in from one country to another. If I were to be an inspector, I wouldn't find anything. I'd have to let you go. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Everything that he had, the money, the property, everything, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Amen. Is Jesus truly your Lord? Are you going to argue the word of God? Are you going to doubt the word of God? I didn't tell you to believe everything, but at least see it here. If I give you with the word of God, you don't have to believe everything I say, but evaluate it with the word of God and pray and let the Lord Jesus, that my Lord Jesus, reveal to you. Because if not, then why do you come here? If what I say isn't true, then you shouldn't be here. A very valuable declaration, meaning that I trust a lot in my Lord, and I trust a lot in what he speaks to me so that I may speak here. No matter how it may sound, but if it's truth, if it, perhaps if it's boastful, The Bible says, he who glorify the Lord. But I'm boastful in the fact that I have a strong relationship with God. And I haven't finished. I'm going. Actually, I haven't finished yet here. Where was I? Malachi 3? No, not Malachi. Apologies. Philippians 3, where we were at. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. 10. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. Paul here was already a mature, well-aged man. He wasn't new in the ministry, and he still, his motto was to continue knowing the Lord. You know what the worst part is? When we're deceived by ourselves and thinking, oh yes, Jesus is the Lord. There's a story there in Mark. I'm not going to go there. This story here, we've all seen it here. Oh, thank you. You remember the story of the man that the rich young man. In reality, that person, he did a lot of a big deal. Then he went, kneeled before him, said, "Lord, good Lord, good Master." He said, "Why do you call me good? There's no good but God." He was telling me, if you're calling me good, you mean you think that I'm God. So if I'm God, I'm the Lord. And then he told him what to do, and he didn't want to, and he left. He had more love to money. God is always good, and when God asks us for something, because it's best for us, God has better plans than when we... Were you ministered, and were you fed with the word of God? Then we give you the opportunity... Do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, "Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God." So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant." So when a person is constantly fed with the word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry, to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, "Oh, I don't have," or "I can't." That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, "Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it, and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow." Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again, and we've experienced it time and time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true. And thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you. And we agree, and you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise, seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt, and He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.